The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
In the UK right now, a group of prisoners are on a long-term hunger strike in protest over the war in Gaza and the arrest of Palestinian activists. And some of them have been on hunger strike now for up to 50 days. And their health is now reaching a very critical breaking point. I mean, after 50 days on hunger strike, I imagine you'd be in a very serious condition. You'd wonder what they're going through, wouldn't you? I'm privileged to be able to talk to a man called Ciarán Dawson, Dr. Ciarán Dawson, who lectures at UCC. Good morning to you.
I wasn't actually on the hunger strike. I was on the blanket protest, which the hunger strike was part of.
Okay.
I was on the blanket protest for 4 years.
Okay.
With the blanket protest, we're not here to talk about the blanket protest, but it's fairly much a part of history now.
Yeah.
Was it by the British to really decriminalise all resistance to the empire? And a group of young prisoners resisted it, and the blanket protest was like the best efforts we could make to avoid hunger strike. But we were coming towards the end of 1980, and it wasn't getting anywhere. The British still weren't paying attention, and that's when the first hunger strike started. There were seven men went on that, and there were women who joined it. Some of the women prisoners, Mairead Farrell, probably the most famous, joined it later on. I think Mairead and the two women were on with it for 19 days when it was finally ended. With a lot of smoke and mirrors from the British. So by Christmas then of that year, we knew that we're going to be doing this again. So then the second hunger strike, Bobby went on the second hunger strike, started on the 1st of March 1981, which was very significant because the 1st of March 1976 was the day that the British removed political status.
Uh-huh.
And the history there, we lost 10 men.
What does hunger strike do to you, Ciarán?
Hunger strike destroys your body. Basically, the hunger strike in 1980, and then we see it as one. We who were the prisoners at the time, just see a single hunger strike from really beginning October 1980 and ending in December 1981, really. But very, very quickly, your body's a clever thing, and your body identifies the least important organs to the most important, and it will begin to consume itself. Beginning with the non-critical organs, which would be the muscles, various muscles around the body. But as that progresses, it's no choice then. It has to start dealing with the heart, the liver, the critical organs, which really will result in death. Now, the guys in 1981, the later stages, they will go blind. The sight can be recovered. And in the coma, and that's when you hear they're in the coma, moved to an outside hospital, it's 24-48 hours. My other guy, Martin Horson, died after 46 days. It was a complication. But I suppose when you look at the history of hunger strike in Ireland, we had 22 dead hunger strikers in British jails. Irish hunger strikers died in British jails, beginning with Thomas Ashe in 1917, who died through force feeding. And then, of course, with Terence McSweeney in Cork.
Yeah. 74. And force feeding is a thing that can start a whole dangerous reaction in the body
What happened with Thomas Ashe was the tube, they put the tube into his lung by accident, filled his lung with the liquid and drowned him.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened to one of the two hunger strikers in the mid-70s, Michael Gohan or Frank Stagg, I can't remember which one of them was. And then Terence McSweeney would have been the first person to die directly just from the hunger.
Yeah.
He lost 70.
Is it a painful thing to go through, Ciarán?
It is. I've spoken to a lot of the guys who have survived it. They say it's extremely painful. There's an awful lot of suffering involved in it, both psychological and physical. I remember when we heard Bobby had died, we were still on the blanket protest, and we had radios smuggled in, so we had to keep things quiet. And I remember that morning we woke up and somebody whispered up that we used Irish for all the communications, and says for the nickname we used was Rhubarb, because we didn't want the screws to hear us mention his name. They would have known we had a radio. And the guy said, for Rhubarb Boss or Modgin. And that went up, and we knew Bobby had died then during the night. And we, of course, had to keep that there. We couldn't react to it until somebody went out on a visit and came back and told us that Bobby had died. So then we could then, because we couldn't let the screws, what we call them.
That's a universal name for prison officers. When was the last time, or did you speak to Bobby at any point? Could you speak to Bobby?
Well, he wasn't in my wing. We were across four wings. We were the 8H blocks, and there were the protest wings. Each wing would have had 200 men. And of course, I always have to say, there were a group of women in Armagh prison on protest at the same time. That each wing would have held, was capable of 200 men, but the protest wings would have had about 150. We were across H3, H4, H5, and for a short time, H6. So Bobby was in H5. I knew him. We were neighbours. We were both from Tunbrook in Belfast, so I knew him from those days. But he was in H5, which was like each block was like a prison within a prison. So he would have been H5. I was H4. And so you wouldn't have seen each other, because during the protest, we were, it's what people don't get, is the blanket protest, we were 24/7 lockup for 4 years. You didn't get out of that cell.
Yeah.
For 4 years. You know, you
were it's hard to comprehend what that must have been like.
And I'll tell you, JP, or PJ, it's hard for me even today. I'm 67 this year, and I think in my head, my God, it's hard for me to begin to comprehend that idea. I'll sit and I look at a small part of my kitchen and think, God, I sat in a place like that for 4 years, naked, getting beat up, getting scalding water thrown on me. You know, you're getting hosed down on winter nights like the weather we have today. We went through all of that there. But it was the strength of our conviction that we were political prisoners, and that's what's happening here today.
That brings me to where we are today with the people who are hunger strike protesting for Palestine. You need a cause. You need something to cling to in those dark moments.
It does, and it needs to be a universal cause. It needs to be beyond prison conditions. Do you know, if all we had been struggling for were prison conditions, both the British would have given them and we wouldn't have gone. But what they are doing is, the British have criminalised the Palestinian struggle. They criminalised Palestine Action. What they did was they declared Palestine Action, which is a peaceful protest group. Now, I know they've vandalised weapons of war. That's fine. From my perspective, these weapons of war are their killing machines. But it is a peaceful protest group. What the British have done is they have banned it. You know, they brought in legislation and created a crime where a crime never existed before, by saying you wear the words Palestine Action, you can be arrested. And then they introduce what I call the T word, the terrorist word. And they bring in that very clever word, which comes preloaded with all our worst nightmares.
They associated the term, because I remember listening to British radio coverage of it at the time. They and a lot of people were standing up to the Labour government and think, come here, do you know what you're doing here? They associated the term Palestine Action, from whom a lot of people who hadn't a criminal act in their mind joined Palestine Action because they believed fervently in the cause of the Palestinian people. They associated that term with terrorism. And I remember people saying, that's going to come back to bite you.
Oh, yeah, and it will, because they throw this word around the place, but they know what they are doing. It's a very, very clever propaganda thing, because it comes really, it has so much invested in it as a word by using the word terror. Do you know, we all have, do you know what I mean? It's one of the deepest human emotions, and they invested in this, and so they call the person a terrorist. It means that, oh, yeah, these are people who inflict terror on people. Now, even someday we can talk about the northern conflict, but that's not what we're here for today. These people aren't inflicting terror on anybody. They're a bunch of young people who are taking a stand for Palestine, and they're young Palestine, and they're young English people.
Yeah.
So they are for the first time, and here we have in British prisons again. We have people in hunger strike.
Now, I would say this, Kieran. Again, having listened to and read as widely as I can, because you know yourself with these things, you've got to read everything.
Yeah.
There were politicians who said very clearly at the time, look, I've no problem, we've no problem with people protesting for the cause of the Palestinian people. Just don't call yourself Palestine Action, because we have declared that a proscribed organisation. Yeah. So you could protest against what's happening in Palestine, as long as you didn't have those words on your on your poster.
But then, if you let them do that, then that's just a form of words, Palestine Action. They then will prescribe anything. What they have done is they have invented an offence where an offence didn't exist.
Okay, I have you. I understand what you're saying. What do you know about the state of health? I know some of them are into 50 days, and at that stage, your organs are starting to fail.
Heba is in 65 days. Bobby Sands died after 66 days, which is really, for a man, what you would expect. A woman, it's a physiological thing, will not last as long on hunger strike as a man will. Not only that, but my understanding is that even if she comes off it, the long-term effects are worse for a woman than they are for a man.
Yeah.
I know, like, there's several of the guys from 1981. You know, they're okay. Now, I'm sure they have their own problems, but, you know, Lawrence McKeown, Pat Sheehan, they're older than me, and they were in comas, but they were brought back. Do you know? But it said that women, it's a different story with women. And so, like, that young woman, Heba, I think she's only 20, Heba Moraisi, she's on day 65.
Yeah.
And there's another young woman, Teuta.
The science tells us at this stage, if you look at the biology of it, her liver is in trouble, her kidneys are in trouble, her heart is in trouble.
Yeah, her body's consuming itself, right? Because the body's an amazing thing, and it will do everything it can.
It'll use itself as a source of food, which it consumes
itself.
Which is a horrifying thing to think.
It's absolutely horrific, and the brain then I think the brain is the last thing it starts to consume. Now, this is just I've read, as you can imagine, about this. I've heard a lot of accounts on it down through the years. And that is where they are at the moment.
One last one for you, Dr. Dawson, before I let you go, is I could spend the day talking to you because it's fascinating. Does hunger strike, in the experience of yourself and your friends and the strikes that you took part in and the protests you took part in, does it change things?
It does, but over a very long period. But you can't, I suppose the answer I give, we are very, very active in Cork, so I am with the whole, you know, Palestine Action, if you want to put it like that. That's not what we call it. But I remember one of the very first, you know, as I'm sure you know, we have the Saturday demos. And back October 23, it was the Jazz Weekend, and we were assembling for, must have just been the second or third Saturday demo. Now, last Saturday was 117th. And somebody said to me, does this change anything? Does the form of protest change anything? Does protest change anything? And the answer I have for it, the only answer that I can give is, it's unconscionable that the genocide in Palestine and things like that would take place without protest. It's just absolutely unconscionable that the world would stay silent, that people would not protest, they would not protest on the streets. We in Ballincollig protest on the street there. We have our own group there. We do a protest on the Ovens Bridge on Friday evenings.
Yeah.
And it's unconscionable to think that we would live in a world that would stay silent while this is going on.
Right.
But it's a long-term thing, and I would encourage anybody. And the other thing I would say is, in Cork, if you want just a stark reminder of hunger strike, Terence McSweeney's Lion in St. Finbar's. Nearly the first person you see when you go into Seven Bars, Terence McSweeney, 74 days in hunger strike. And Terence McSweeney, very similar to these guys, a military court.
Yeah.
Right. For possession of seditious articles. That's what he was putting Brixton prison for.
I'm gonna wrap it with you there, Dr. Dawson, for no reason other than time. Greatly appreciate your time, your experience, and your understanding of what it is like for your friends to have been on hunger strike. Ciarán himself was on the blanket protest, and then many of his friends, including Bobby Sands, died on hunger strike and were damaged by hunger strike. And he was just talking about what's happening now with the Palestinian Action people who are on hunger strike in the UK. You really got to believe in something passionately to risk your life, and that's exactly what they're doing.
Cork's 96 FM.